This episode is brought to you by Visit Williamsburg. In Williamsburg, Virginia, there's never too much of a good thing. Whether you're a foodie, a golfer, a history buff, a shopaholic, an outdoor enthusiast, or a thrill seeker, you'll find what you came for here and more. So ask yourself, what is it you want? Discover Williamsburg and plan your trip at visitwilliamsburg.com.
Another day is here, and you're ready for it. What to wear? Check. Breakfast, lunch, and dinner? Check. Planning for what's next and how to save for it? That's where Bank of America can help. For your financial to-dos, Bank of America has experts ready to help get you closer to your goals. Get started at one of our local financial centers or 24-7 in our mobile banking app. Find a location near you at bankofamerica.com/talktous. What would you like the power to do? Mobile banking requires downloading the app and is only available for select devices. Message and data rates may apply. Bank of America NA, member FDIC.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
Hey everybody, welcome, and thank you for listening to this episode of Marriage Therapy Radio. My name is Zach Brittle. I'm here with Laura Heck. I'm fresh back from California, where I played a little bit, worked a little bit. I went to a conference where I took in a ton of information, met a ton of cool people, had some seeds planted, had some questions that came up for me. Laura and I bat them around today. I really enjoyed getting an opportunity to sort of explore those with her. Before we get started, though, I wish you all very happy holidays. I think this is as close as we get to Christmas. So those of you who celebrate Christmas, hope it's very merry. If you're celebrating anything else, hope it's grand. I like to say happy all the things. Again, thank you, as always, for being a part of the Marriage Therapy Radio family. This is a very cool conversation. Stick around. You got your elf ears on and you're like, what is that? A ball gown?
No, it's a sequence. You guys, I dressed up for Zach today because we don't normally record on Saturdays. And I live my life in workout clothes, but I had to shower and do my hair and makeup because we record our faces when we do the podcast. And if you hear jingling, it's because I decided to put on my son's elf ears. Mm-hmm. And if I was going to put elf ears on, I was also going to put on my red sequins jumpsuit. So here, I'm going to stand up so you can see it.
Okay. Thank you.
The whole thing. Ta-da! How fun is that?
All right. That is fun.
Now it is fun. I have many fancy parties this week. Many.
Right on.
But now I'm going to put a jacket on because I don't want to sit here in my red sequins jumpsuit the whole
podcast. Do you know why the tiny drop of ink was so sad?
Why?
Because his mother was in the pen and he didn't know how long the sentence was going to be.
Aw, nuts. That was good.
It's been a while since I ripped out a dad joke.
I liked it. Yeah. I know. We have a lot to cover because there's been a lot happening since I saw you last.
Yeah.
And I'm sure your brain is filled with things.
Basically, this is our Christmas episode, which is why I have my Santa hat on. And it's the only episode that we have. Like, we haven't talked about whether or not it's a Christmas episode or a holiday episode, but this comes out right before
we haven't talked at all. This is what happens is we get on the podcast. Both of us were wearing hats, which is extra fun.
And I have I've got on a red and black button down with a green hoodie. So I'm doing straight up Christmas. We celebrate Christmas. If you celebrate something other than Christmas, I hope it's really happy and that you would love it. And that's amazing for you.
So we're recording it and it's actually 9 days out. So I just wanted to give people a heads
up. It's so long. Because Thanksgiving was so early this year and there's like an extra week in the middle.
Said no complaints ever.
No, it's great. Last year was super short because Thanksgiving was like on the 29th or something. And you're like, wait, what? Yeah, I'm liking this one.
We have not decorated at all. Are you guys decorated at your house?
Oh, totally. 100%.
I know your Christmas lights are on point. We know that from a previous episode.
Yeah. You know what's Christmas? You know whose Christmas lights are on point is Disneyland. Those guys go all out. Christmas. Let me
touche. If you've been tracking the Instagram, did you post a picture of you and Rebecca?
No.
We will put it on there. It's pretty cute. It's pretty cute. So was that your idea or Rebecca's idea to dress up?
Well, a little bit of both. Like I went down to do some client work, met with some clients early in the week, and then I had a conference at the back end of the week. And so we just decided we're going to use the middle 2 days to go to the parks and just kind of like play. So we went with our neighbors. They're Disney nuts. It was crazy. Right. They totally managed the whole trip for us. Like, they took us around all the spots. And we were like, if we're going to do this, we're going to do it. So the first day we did what's called Disney bounding, which is where you like, you don't put on a Disney costume, but you like evoke a Disney costume, like with your colors and your like kind of just your generalized design. So Rebecca was Winnie
the Pooh.
Hold
on. There's an actual word that describes the way that you dress. Disney bounding.
It's a very, very popular kind of hip thing in the Disney world. Like,
you're so hip. Cool.
Yeah. There's like entire TikTok channels dedicated to like, now we're going to go like, you know, Mrs. Potts from, what's it called? Beauty and the Beast.
Do you get to go around Winnie the Pooh and guess?
No, you mean
Eeyore.
Yeah, I was Eeyore and she was Winnie the Pooh and that was amazing. But I mean, I guess you could guess when you notice somebody, you're like, hey, I love your outfit, you know, but you don't like, it's not a game or anything. So our favorite part though, was we went into Critter Kingdom. Yes. And we met Tigger, and Tigger was like, he went bananas over our outfits because he recognized us and we were like his friends all of a sudden. And it was really cool.
Yeah. So, the Eeyore is like super appropriate for you, I have to say.
Totally. not have to work very hard.
Yeah, you wouldn't have known that he was Eeyore except for you put the Eeyore tail on your backpack. And so it was behind you and it was just tagged onto your backpack. Other than that, you were just wearing your clothes, right? It was just like the color of your clothing.
I had pink socks. Yeah. I had pink sunglasses because Eeyore is blue and gray and pink. So
yeah, the socks were adorable, by the way. Yeah. Super cute. Hey, ladies. And gentlemen, I'm having one of those moments where it's about 9:30 in the morning. I'm still in my pajamas right now. I've been making breakfast. I have been scrubbing toilets and I have been washing muddy paws off of my dogs. I do not feel sexy at all. And yet it doesn't seem to matter because my husband still wants to come up from behind me, give me a little grope. And it's like he's expecting that I'm going to be able to switch gears immediately and turn toward him and give him like a luscious kiss. It's just not going to happen. I'm sorry, honey, but I do have a secret because it is hard for me to switch gears in the middle of the day when I'm working with clients, when I am a mom, when I am doing household duties, and then also want to show up as this erotic being that's turning toward my partner. So here's my secret sauce. It keeps my brain engaged in the erotic side as well while I'm also living out my everyday life. It's called Dipsy. Dipsy is... it's like these short audio, sexy, erotic stories, and they're only about 15 minutes long. So if I go for a dog walk, I'm putting on my Dipsy app and I'm gonna scroll through and find the actor voices that I really like. The British male is my favorite, I will admit. And it's going to play through this erotic story almost as if I was reading it, but I'm listening to it, which is even more powerful. And it's allowing my brain to switch into the erotic side long enough so that when I get home, it's not such a stark contrast between me being a wife and a mom and a housewife and all of those things. I can also engage that erotic side of me because I'm listening to these short stories. So I do yourself a little favor and check out Dipsy. For the listeners of the show, Dipsy is offering an extended 30-day free trial when you go to dipsystories.com/MTR. That's 30 days of full free access. When you go to Dipsy Stories, it's spelled D-I-P-S-E-A stories.com/MTR. dipsystories.com/MTR. Tell me about your conference, because you went and you went to the Psychotherapy Networker conference, which I've never been to. I've been to one major conference as a therapist in my life, and it was the one that like turned me, where I wasn't even a therapist. I wasn't in school to become a therapist. And the Marriage and Family Therapist Conference came through Long Beach, California in like 2008. Probably 2008. And that I decided to attend and didn't know anything about therapy. And I went, and then after that, I was applying for grad school. So that was my first and last conference I've ever been to. But how was this one?
It was really fun. I went to the Evolution of Psychotherapy conference.
Yeah.
And it, you know, it's a 5-day conference. I really only went to one day, and I went primarily to connect with some people, not necessarily to consume content. Then there's just way, way more content to consume than I think is reasonable for anybody. And unless you're like a voracious note taker, which I am not, then it's like drinking from a fire hose. But I really went, and I picked the day that I wanted. There were a few people that I really wanted to meet and see.
You gonna name drop?
Well, John and Julie taught that day. I went to their session. Ellen Bader was there. She is kind of one of the giants in kind of the origination of couples therapy. She runs what's called the Couples Institute with her husband. So I got to hear her teach. Harville Hendricks and his wife were there. They were teaching.
Is she also a therapist? I don't know. Okay, cool.
And they were, that was really cool. They're pioneers. I mean, literally pioneers in the couples therapy world. Stan Tackett was there.
I'm going to circle back to Mrs. Hendricks in a second, but go ahead.
Yeah, her name is Kelly LaHunt. I think she doesn't have his last name, but.
Okay.
But Stan Tackett was there. He was really cool. He actually didn't lecture. He almost modeled. He had a couple come up from the crowd and sat them down. And then he basically did therapy with them while teaching the room. So he wasn't they weren't a real couple. They were role playing, but like he was like, da, 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 da. And then he would go, time out. This is what I'm doing right here. This is what this is like. And this is why I'm doing this. And so he kept,
that's awesome.
And he would go back and forth and kind of do that. But the highlight for me, no question, hands down, was I got to see Gabor Mate. He is this, he's a medical doctor. He's a physician out of Vancouver, British Columbia. He's also a Holocaust survivor. And has all of this insight into kind of how compassion works and how compassion works relative to addiction or relative to ADHD or relative to. I saw him twice. He did an hour-long lecture, which was fine. I don't really consume hour-long lectures all that well. So I was sort of in and out, kind of maybe I was even texting you or something from time to time. But then after lunch, he did an hour-long Q&A. Where he like passed the mic around the room, and there had to have been 200-300 people in the room. And you know, somebody would ask a question, and he walked around and he like talked to them like face to face with his microphone and kind of answered the question through both personal and therapeutic lens. And it was incredible. Like, he blew my mind. So now I'm going to be not obsessed, but I'll be really looking into his stuff.
Well, it's called
the coolest part,
spade.
Though. Here, what's that?
Let's call a spade a spade. There might be some obsession.
Totally. No, like he might be my new thing. He definitely has an area of expertise that I do not have, which is like gentleness and compassion and like patience and like empathy. And I have access to all of those things, but it's just not my area of like real competence and expertise.
Right.
So
right.
Watching him and wanting to be like, oh my God, that was brilliant. Wanting to like learn that, I think it'll be kind of a new layer of inquiry for me. And here's the coolest part though. I talked to Ellen Bader. I talked to Harville Hendricks. I talked to Gabor Mate. All three of them agreed to come on the podcast.
Heck yeah. That's so, really cool. So all of these big names that are rock stars to us that have informed the field of couples therapy, the field of therapy in general, are going to come and just teach our audience. So if you are a therapist.
They said they would.
That's awesome.
They said they would on a Thursday in Anaheim, California. Now I have to do the follow-up and book them and all that other stuff. But coming up in 2024, maybe some interviews with some of these folks that are really doing really cool work.
Yeah.
Ellen Bader, I've never really like grokked with her work. I've never really kind of gotten, but her lecture was about trauma and trauma informed couples therapy, which was very cool to kind of, she also did a little bit like, she had three different examples from her own like practice or clinic. One was just a transcript that she read. One was an actual thing that she showed. And then one was something else that she did, but it was really cool. It was really cool to just kind of take all that in. And then I saw Michael. I was actually like walking around the
brother.
I was walking around the exhibit, and he was like, Zach. And I didn't know anybody in the whole place knew my name. So
except for our mutual friend, which is super fun.
We have a new mutual friend. We now have a second mutual friend. That's pretty cool.
That's true. Yeah. So whenever we say our mutual friend, we're going to have to clarify if it's our male mutual friend or our female mutual friend.
She was fine.
Here's the big news.
Know her and yeah.
Learn
about what
big news on my end. While you were busy doing that, I was texting you. I was texting you pictures of a dessert that I made.
Mm-hmm.
And I don't know. Yes. So here's what's really cool. If you go back to episode 291, which is us when we were talking to Dr. Monique Thompson, she was talking about infidelity and recovery, but there is a bonus at the end, which is where she gets into great detail about her secret recipe for replicating the lemon nothing but bundt cake. And she gives all of these like nuanced things, like you have to use a butter extract and you have to frost the pan with sugar to give it like a crunchy exterior. And you have to use the white chocolate chips to make it really moist, all these things. And you know, it's really fun. I got an email of a listener that recreated the cake and said it was awesome.
Oh, nice.
This is someone who attended one of our workshops, by the way. So shout out to you because he listens to the podcast. And then I recreated the cake for my mother-in-law who loves you for her 78th birthday. So it was delicious.
I love it.
I was really, really happy.
All coming together. It's all coming together.
It is. It is coming together. So whenever we go to conferences like this, it usually lights a lot up. Did you come up with like a lot of things that you wanted to talk about on the podcast? I was kind of expecting for you to just drive a topic.
A little bit. I actually want to ask you a question. I had, like I said, I went down Sunday and I did some client work with some folks. And I said a few things in that session that I want to know what you think.
Okay.
Because kind of, you know,
how
it is.
Sometimes honest.
Sometimes stuff comes out of your mouth and you're like, oh. But here, yeah, totally. But here's one. So here's one, for example. When I said this, they both wrote it down. I was like, that's got to be good. I don't know if I've ever said that before. But
they're like, we're going to put it in a letter. And this is going to be the reason we break up with you.
No, here's what I said. I said, every conversation can go well. That's it. Do you believe that? Every conversation can go well.
You really? I mean, I was like waiting for the rest of it. I believe it? Every conversation can go well. Yeah, I think that there's possibility for anything. Sure.
Okay.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
I asked real clients yesterday. I was back in my office yesterday and I had this couple sitting in front of me.
These were not real clients for you?
Not you. I didn't ask you. I asked like actual clients.
Okay, got it. You're like, what do you think of this?
We're actually doing the work. And I said, hey, every conversation can go well. I think by extension, every conflict can go well. Every interaction can go well. Every shopping trip can go well. Because they were talking about how they had a bad shopping trip. They went shopping for Christmas and he didn't like shopping. And I was like, okay.
Mm-hmm.
Does that mean it can't go well? You know? And so we just were batting this around. But I wonder about this premise. If everything can go well, if every conversation can go well, then what do you think?
If you buy into that, I think that's a good solid place to be in. If I was to say every conversation can go well, and my clients looked at me and said, absolutely not with this person, not with their reactivity, not with blah, blah, blah.
Yeah.
Then I would say, man, that's a really hard place to be in, to lose hope, to feel like you don't have control in the outcome. And if you don't have control in the outcome, what's the point?
Similarly, yesterday my client said, everything can go well if the stars align. I was like, the stars align. You mean we're just like hoping that the stars align? Like, what about if you change your own behavior, your own perspective, or your own commitment to making sure this goes well? I mean, you can get into a conversation.
What's the point in being in therapy if you're waiting for the stars to align?
Here's the other one, right? If you're in a conversation that's not going well, and then you remember this can go well, maybe there's an opportunity to go, hold up. This isn't going well. How about we start over? Or how about we pivot? Yeah. Or how about I check myself internally and just grapple with the thing that's happening for me? Which, by the way, was a lot of what Gabor Mate did. He turned somebody would ask a question, but how do I deal with this kind of client? Because they make me anxious. And he would start talking to the question asker about their anxiety.
Totally. You
know? Not about what to do with the client whose behavior was anxiety provoking. He was like, what's up with your anxiety? Where is that coming from? What do you need to do about that? What do you need to, maybe you should just let that be true. Even if you feel anxious, you don't have to respond out of your anxiety, you know? So it was actually really, really fascinating.
Okay. This just jogged. What you just said to me was really powerful. And all you were doing was, you know, repeating what
channeling
Gaber, Garber,
Gabor, Gabor Mate.
Channeling Gabor Mate. It's G-O-B-A-R.
G-A-B-O-R.
G-A-B. Oh, I got those mixed up. Sweet.
G-A-B-O-R. M-A-T-E.
Okay. You said, what if that was true? That's such an interesting phrase for a second. I'm sorry to derail this, but
okay.
The fact that you said, what if that was true? Especially with anxiety or depression, do we not try and talk ourselves out of it so much? I literally spent the last 3 days of my body being in physical pain, my stomach being upset, just being in physical pain because I was tired and I was overwhelmed and we've been going and I haven't had a moment of rest and I'm an introvert and I need to like be alone and do my thing, which is, by the way, what I'm doing today, self-care. But I didn't allow it to be true. If somebody had just said, Laura, pause for a second, you feel like crap. You're overwhelmed, you're exhausted, your digestive system is completely off, you've been drinking like a maniac with all these holiday parties, like something's wrong. What if it was true that you were tired and overwhelmed and you just allowed it to be? I wish somebody would have said that to me 3 days ago and it didn't take me 3 days of trying to push forward before I finally said, I can't do it anymore. Like I cannot go to another holiday party. I can't go, which is why I'm dressed up because I didn't get to wear this last night. I wanted to wear it. But I didn't go because I allowed it to be true. And I leaned into the fact that I was like, guess what? You're an introvert. Guess what? You need to restore. Guess what? You need to maybe not have more food and beverage tonight.
Yeah.
Wow. I like that phrase. I'm going to steal that.
Closer to his message is something like, what if it was true? But what if it was true and there was nothing wrong with that? Like, there's nothing wrong with you that you're anxious. Or there's nothing wrong with you that you're depressed. It just is.
Yeah.
Right. So I was at Disneyland. We went 2 days. We started the days at rope drop, which means we were the first people in the park. And we ended the days when the parks closed. Literally, I was there the entire time.
Sounds awful.
It is. Yeah. It was. My feet hurt. But I kept pushing myself. I was like, once in a lifetime, going to do this. We're going to figure it out. We're going to check the boxes. We're going to, you know. But about halfway through the second day, I just said to my friends and my wife, I go, you guys, just so you know, like, Rebecca obviously already knew, but to my friends, I was like, I've been in a little bit of a depressive episode since about early November. This is the manifestation. Uh-huh. I'm grumpy. I'm down. I'm not very resilient. Everything is big. I look like something's wrong with me. I'm okay. You don't have to worry about me. I'll sort it out, but I can't I don't have the energy to muster that I'm having fun because I'm not having fun, but I can have fun. I just need to like take the part out where I feel ashamed or I feel like I have to apologize, or I feel like you guys need to know.
Yes.
I need to take that part out so that I can just be like, all right, I'm going to take my sore feet to the place. And so it was just really cool to have that reinforced in a kind of a therapeutic way, even in a practical way. But same for you. Like, it's okay. You're just tired. You know why you're tired? Because you're a human being.
Yeah.
And you're going too hard. And that's okay.
Yeah. I call it the double whammy. And I've had that conversation quite frequently where, I have a client in particular where he gets, when he feels like he has a lack of control in making plans, this is very general, but it is a real client. So when his wife, who's very proactive, makes plans and he is not as proactive, he feels like he doesn't have any control in the situation. And when he gets in those moments where maybe they're on vacation or they're traveling or they're, you know, doing something on the weekend, she has plotted the course because he didn't have a say. She's proactive and all of that. And he said, the moment I start to feel like I have a lack of control, I get grumpy and I don't want to do anything. And once I start to get grumpy, then I start to judge myself. That's the double whammy. Cause it's like what you're talking about. Like, what if you just allowed it to be and said, it's okay. It's okay that you're frustrated, that you feel like you have a lack of control. It's okay that you are in a depressive state right now. And you're not going to be in the same state that you were, let's say 2 years ago when you were at Disneyland. It's okay that you burned out from the holiday season. You just need to restore yourself for a day. But when you layer on that lack of self-compassion and acceptance for yourself and you lean into more the shame and the judgment, that's the double whammy. And I like what you're pulling from this is he's basically saying it's okay that you're having this experience of anxiety or depression or frustration or anger or irritability or whatever it might be, but don't give yourself the double whammy of lack of compassion, that judgment. I love that.
Yeah. And I think, you know, again, our mutual friend was talking about, she's really into parts work.
Yeah.
Like, so there's, she's like, this morning I talked to the part of me that X, like I hung out with the part of me that needed X. And I was like, oh, that's intriguing. But, you know, I think along the same lines, like there's only a part of you that's depressed. There's only a part of you that's anxious. Mm-hmm. There's only a part of you that's irritable. And that part needs to be validated and honored. And I think that can be validated and honored by the part of you that believes everything can go well, or believes I really do love this person, or believes that there is an opportunity to find gratitude even in the midst of this. One thing that I thought was like really intriguing, and I'll have to spend more time with this, but this guy asked a question of Gabor Mate, and he said, I have these clients and I'm trying to get to talk to them about their trauma. And every time I do that, they create resistance, and that resistance is really aggressive, and that makes me anxious. And then I start to and Gabor Mate goes, how are you feeling right now? And he said, I'm feeling actually kind of anxious right now. He goes, okay.
Yeah.
So what if I was also feeling anxious and I spoke to you out of my anxiety?
Uh-huh. Mm-hmm.
He said, I would probably shut down. He goes, that's what's happening to your clients.
Yeah.
He's like, that's probably what's happening to your wife. That's probably what's happening to your husband. Like if you speak out of the part of you that needs to be anxious or needs to be depressed, it's going to generate another response in the other that is unhelpful. So let that part of you breathe and then speak out of the part of you that has a little bit more self-awareness, because that part is there too, you know?
Yeah. We talk about that with having couples recognize that your dynamic between the two of you is a dance. It's not just your partner showing up defensive. It's how you are approaching your partner with potentially some criticism or potentially some anxiety. And they're feeding off of that anxiety.
Yeah.
And I like that you are calling to action the fact that as therapists, we are modeling this in the room. How I show up is going to impact my clients. How you show up is going to impact your partner and how they respond back to you.
Yeah.
And with parenting, we know this first and foremost, like when your child is crying, the way to soothe your child is to pull them onto a soft and tender place and to calm your breathing. And so that child is going to then co-regulate with you and is going to feel your energy and your heart rate, and it's going to start to slow and soften. And if you're unable to do that for your child, the rule of thumb is pass the baby off. If you are going to get activated by your kiddo crying and it's going to put you up into an anxious state and your heart's going to start flying, it's not going to do that child any good to be held close while you're anxious. So pass the baby to somebody else who's calm and soothing.
Yeah.
Well, that's fascinating.
It really is. And I think just sort of chicken and egging as you talk, and I go, oh yeah, yeah, yeah. What's the point of therapy and how does you do with the parts? And I had a client last week, she took me on in session, like kind of at the beginning, she said, I have a bone to pick with you. And
nice.
I kind of saw it coming. Like, I sort of knew. And as soon as she said it, I knew exactly what she was talking about from the previous week. But I watched her husband like visibly recoil. He was like, uh-oh, this is our last therapy session. Like, this is not going to go well because here comes the fight. Mm-hmm. And she goes, I have a bone to pick with you. And I go, right on. Let's do it. I go, and I was thinking in my head, like, this could go well. How could this go well? And so I just met her. I just met her like point for point. And at the end I was like, are we good? Do you get what you needed? And she was like, yep. And then I immediately turned to him and I was like, so what's happening for you right now? Like what? And he was just I'm in complete awe that did not go problematically. And I was like, why? He goes, cause I can't. And so we talked a little bit about, you know, what actually happened between she and I and the choices that I made that I think we can make. And I got to make them because I wasn't triggered. I wasn't defensive. Mm-hmm. It was okay with me if it was their last session. Mm-hmm. I wasn't personally invested in the outcome. I knew why I had made the choice that I made in the previous session. I was open to being wrong about it, although I don't really think I was. And we got to kind of get to the end of it and go, okay, well, I'm glad that we hashed that out. So in terms of like, what's the point of therapy? I think it is allowing another part to be present while you sort out what all your parts are trying to do as you start to feel crazy, you know, or start to feel disconnected in your relationship. So
I have people tell me all the time, like I will ask them, why did you wait to have this conversation for therapy? Because so many people are Laura, we have an agenda item. We've been sitting and stewing on this and talking about it for 2 weeks. We're ready to bring it to the table. And I'm like, why? Why are we doing this in therapy if this has been creating distance between the two of you? You both know it exists, but you've tabled it until therapy. And in so many words, basically what they're saying is, you allow for the best versions of ourselves to show up in therapy. Nice. Otherwise, all the other parts come to play, and the best part of us takes a back seat while all, you know, my protective self or whatever. This is all parts work, by the way. It's IFS.
That's exactly
individual
right.
Family
that's cool.
Systems.
Like, I'm just like, oh, that's actually pretty cool. That there it is again. The parts work. Like there's a there is a part of you that can show up on your best behavior, that can show up with your sort of your best stuff. And I think, you know, again, I don't know, if you're giving each other something for Christmas or for the holidays, why don't you give yourself the best part of you, or access to the best part of you, while you are gentle with the part of you that's not so sharp, you know?
I've been stewing around this a little bit in, I don't do any sort of like addiction work at all, but who was I talking to? Oh, I've been meeting in consultation with therapists here in Bend, which has been really fun for me, because I'm trying to, you know, meet the community and be able to understand like, how can I give referrals, whatever. So what happens with the consultation group is that you're sitting around a room where everyone has a different sort of modality or lens in which they view couples. And it's really neat because I could meet with the same couple, but I will think of different ways to view their relationship and different ways to intervene. And their background tends to be more in the trauma-informed as well as addiction-based models. And one thing that I have been learning more and more is that first and foremost, when they're meeting with couples, they have all of these red lights that are going off that's basically saying, what's getting in the way of you showing up as your best self? And I so appreciate that. It's helped me to identify when couples are coming to me and they're saying, yeah, we tend to get in fights mostly at night, mostly when we're drinking and we're out with friends, mostly, you know, around parenting. And I'm going, okay, here we go. So what needs to be removed from your
no
best self?
No talking after 10. No talking after two drinks.
So, you know, it's funny because a lot of these couples probably haven't considered alcohol as a problem because it is so socially acceptable, especially around the holidays. I'm thinking about it a lot more just because there's a lot of drinking happening around the holidays. And recently I just said to this couple, I said, let's do this. Like, let's just see what your relationship with alcohol is over the next couple of weeks. I know that the two of you use it as a way to connect. Let's see what it looks like to remove it from your life. And I just want to sit in that space of just thinking about it, or like give it a shot, try it. And the reason why we're talking about it is because it's one of those barriers that stands in the way of them showing up as their best self. I had a conversation with someone and I said, how did you have such a drastic physical change? And they said it started with alcohol. And what happened was I stopped drinking. When I stopped drinking, I started sleeping better. When I started sleeping better, I started working out in the morning, getting up early. Then I started working out. Then I had more energy. And I was like, holy cow. Like they found the thing to knock over that knocked over all the other goals. So I'm just thinking about what's getting in the way of you being the best version of yourself. And maybe it's addiction. Maybe it's your depression. Maybe it's your relationship with your mom that's unhealed that you need to work on, whatever it might be.
Yeah. And if, I mean, since we're talking about Gabor Mate all day, he would say it's unresolved childhood trauma. And that's not always, Rebecca and I were talking about this last night, that's not always severe. And it's maybe not always looks like trauma. Like Laura and I, you and I both maybe at 2 years old got dropped off at our grandparents' house while our parents took a trip to Europe for a week. That may have been traumatic for you and not traumatic for me.
Right.
Like,
right.
I might have been like, oh, this is cool. No big deal. I'm having fun with my grandma. You might have been like, where's my parents? What is wrong? Yep. Why am I alone? Like, and that may not be anything at all that's like wrong or problematic. Our parents may have done nothing wrong, but if the child experienced it as abandonment, even for 7 days at 2 years old, then that may inform the way that they deal with conflict as an adult. And I think you can get a little too micromanagey about that. Like, oh, well, then everybody's got trauma and everything is trauma. I think you can. But the point is, if there's something that's going on for you that hasn't been healed or soothed,
right,
and you drop into your muscle memory as an adult, then you're going to behave out of that unhealed place. And that is, that needs attention. And so, that's the root of addiction. That's the root of disconnection. That's the root of ADHD, he would argue. That's the root of, you know, and so maybe I don't want to speak about that ADHD thing. He has a book about
ADHD. Yeah, I was going to say.
Really intrigued to read. But okay. But his core message is the same, which is that we need to be gentle and attentive to the experiences that shape us so that we can not be subject to their impact, basically.
As you were talking about trauma and the difference between my experience of a life event and your experience of a life event, and how we both are going to interpret that's going to show up differently. I heard a quote today. I've never heard it before. And I want to now I'm throwing a quote at you. Tell me what you think. And if you've heard this before, perception is reality. Have you heard that?
Yes. And I do believe that, although that looks really good on a bumper sticker or something, but it needs nuance, right? Like, perception is reality because I make my own reality and I'm using information that I'm consuming to make that reality. So part of that information is my perception. And, you know, so I have a client say, what time are you going to be home? And if I decide that you said, what time are you going to be home? Versus, hey, babe, what time are you going to be home? Like, the sender has no control over how the perceiver assigns meaning there.
Okay.
So perception is reality is true, but that doesn't put, I don't think that puts total responsibility on the sender of the message, I think is often how that gets used. You know?
Okay, so let me take that to the place where the example, right?
Okay.
Parents leave for a week to Europe.
Yep.
And the child has an experience of, you abandoned me and I can't trust you to be there for me.
Yep.
And so now I carry that trauma. My trauma is my perception of this event, right? And it's now my reality. But what you just said is the receiver of that, so parents, don't have any control over how that child is going to interpret that event. Is that what I'm hearing you say?
What I said was that the parent going to Europe and that being a traumatic reality for the child doesn't mean that the parents inflicted trauma on the child.
Right. That is correct.
It means that the parents behaved and that behavior was interpreted or perceived traumatically, and that is reality. That matters.
Right.
That needs attention. But the parents don't need to be like, I'm so sorry I went to Europe, and no other parent should ever go to Europe. And you know, you are right. I will never leave you. Like, that's not reality.
This is where I see the disconnection. By the way, I think this is one of the best episodes we've done in a long time, because we're really going into a lot of interesting areas that I think are really meaningful to hear.
Sweet.
Yeah. But the idea, what happens is when you come to somebody and you say, you caused me pain, this was my reality is that I am in pain, I'm traumatized, and you contributed to that pain.
Those are different. Those two things that you just said are different.
Okay.
Thing one that you said is you caused me pain.
Uh-huh.
Thing two that you said is, this is my reality, I am hurting, and you were this, and it was because of something you did, right? I can go back and like, if we played it back, or if you hit rewind by 10 seconds, you'll hear the two different things. One of them is, you caused me pain. The other one is, I'm feeling pain and I'm assigning that pain to my relationship with you. Those are different. Yeah.
How so?
If you walk into a room and you, Laura, say to Zach, you caused me pain, I'm immediately defensive.
Right.
If you walk in a room and say, I am hurting, and that is because of an interaction or because of our relationship, I can validate that truth for you.
You can, But I will say the breakdown is, it doesn't matter. I guess I could be as gentle and I could say it the second way. But I find that the breakdown, let's just say my child comes to me and says, Mom, I wanted to talk to you. I've been working with my therapist. He's 20 years old. And I wanted to talk to you about an experience I had when I was 2 years old and you left me for a week in Europe.
Yep.
And the breakdown is, it's too, I believe that you have this reality, but I'm going to discount your reality because I cannot handle the pain that you're experiencing. It's too much for me to acknowledge that it exists. And so I'm going to dismiss the fact that this was traumatic for you. That's the breakdown that we see in our office every single day, is the inability to validate somebody else's reality because they take on, I would say, too much of the responsibility of, I as a mom have failed because I went for a week, or I as a wife have failed because I have low sexual desire and my partner's coming to me and saying, I'm having this experience of feeling disconnected and I desire you in all of these ways. I'm just saying that it doesn't matter how gentle we present pain in our office. The response that I see often where it breaks down is when you dismiss somebody else's reality and you says it doesn't exist. Your reality and your pain is too painful to exist and for me to acknowledge. And so I'm going to dismiss it, not because I don't love you, but because it's too hard for me to acknowledge that I have hurt you.
Yeah. And I would go like, well, why is that hard? Why is that hard for you to acknowledge?
Right. Like, why can't we just allow it to be?
Yeah. Or, you know, I think, again, I would say, I think this is what Gabor Mate would say. How long has it been hard for you to acknowledge others' pain?
Right.
Forever is usually the answer. Forever.
Yeah. Yeah.
Oh, so you got a thing going on that needs attention that your partner can't do anything about.
Yeah.
Except be gentle and aware and present. Like, that's the thing.
I had a really cool moment in therapy where I have a client that tends to their part, everyone else's pain, right? They make themselves overly hyper vigilant of tending to everybody else's pain. And so at the end of the session, she said, I just want to check in because it feels like we didn't meet his needs today in session. Mm. And then she goes, oh, there I go again, trying to make sure that everybody else around me is tended to and okay. And I'm, you know, and I said, yes.
The wife said this.
Yes. The wife is tending to everybody else, right? She's a fixer. She's, and I look at him and I said, that's okay. I'm okay with you being uncomfortable leaving today's session, not getting what you want. And it was one of those things where I used that moment to model, it's okay. And I said, I believe that he's going to be just fine tending to himself and his own discomfort and his own frustration of how the session ended. And it was for me being able to say,
I trust you to do that. I trust you to manage your own discomfort.
Yep. Yeah. Exactly. I trust you to manage your own emotions. And I also just checked in with him and I was like, she's speaking for you, but tell me, like, how are you feeling? And he was like, I'm going to trust the process. And I was like, well, look at that. So that's pretty cool.
Good,
and I'm going to trust that you know how to manage. Yeah. And we're going to land the plane. But I don't know why I started sharing that story, but I think it's pretty fun to be able to model as a therapist that what we're trying to do in session for our clients. Should we land this plane?
Yeah, we should.
Go for a run.
I'll tell you this. This is my Christmas. This is my holiday gift for everyone. It's a quote again from Gabor Mate. And I think he was quoting someone else, but this is my wish for you, Laura, and for everyone out there listening. He said, all you really need is food in your belly, love in your heart, and peace in your family. So I hope you get food in your belly. I hope you have love in your heart. I hope you get peace in your family. And thank you for listening to Marriage Therapy Radio.
All right, let's land it. Thanks so much for listening to this episode of Marriage Therapy Radio. Thank you to our sponsor, Dipsy, and as well as a callback to episode 291. So if you're wanting to learn the secret sauce to the lemon nothing bundt cake recipe, go to episode 291 and scroll to the very end of the episode and you too can learn how to make this amazing cake. Thanks for all of your time and attention, making your relationship better today than it was yesterday.
Seeking the truth never gets old. Introducing June's Journey, the free-to-play mobile game that will immerse you in a thrilling murder mystery. Join June Parker as she uncovers hidden objects and clues to solve her sister's death in a beautifully illustrated world set in the roaring 20s. With new chapters added every week, the excitement never ends. Download June's Journey now on your Android or iOS device, or play on PC through Facebook Games.